We'll move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? All right. I ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So move from.
Go ahead, Robin.
I move that we accept the consent agenda. This is Robin Williams.
Do I have a second?
I second that, Darren Bagley Heath.
All right. Next, we'll move on to the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda today? Anyone?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I motion that we adopt the agenda.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Jerry. I second that motion.
All right. Agenda is approved. Next, we'll move on to the approval of minutes of the previous meeting.
Don't we need to vote on those? The motions were made, but neither the last two things were voted on.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You need to take roll call and get every single board member's vote, yay or nay.
Okay.
For each thing.
Okay, we'll go back to the consent agenda.
Yeah.
Can we call a vote for the motion to approve the consent agenda? I'll start with Ms. Rebecca Fenwick.
Approve.
Mr. Jerry Lomanac.
Approve.
Ms. Kendra Clark.
Approved.
Mr. Vernon Jones. Mr. Jones, are you there?
I don't think he's here today. We'll let you know if he shows up, but otherwise you can just go over him in the future.
Okay. Mr. Bagley Heath.
Approved.
And Dr. Williams.
Approved.
Okay. And then now I need to take a vote to approve the adoption of today's agenda. I'll start with Rebecca Fenwick.
Approve.
Mr. Jerry Lomanac.
Approve.
Ms. Kendra Clark.
Approved.
Mr. Bagley Heath.
Approved.
And Dr. Williams.
Approved.
Okay, sorry about that. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the meetings of the previous meeting? All right. I ask for a motion to approve the previous minutes.
Kendra Clark, I make a motion to approve the previous minutes.
Do we have a second?
Second, Robin Williams.
All right, I'll call for a vote. Ms. Rebecca Fenwick.
Approve.
Mr. Jerry Lomanac.
Approved.
Ms. Kendra Clark.
Approved.
Mr. Bagley Heath.
Approved.
And Dr. Williams.
Approved.
All right, there were no items requested to be removed from the final agenda. Next, we'll move on to the continued agenda. These are items that have been continued or deferred to the next meeting or a date certain, or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. I ask for a motion to approve the continue agenda.
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I motion to approve the continued agenda.
I second Robin Williams.
All right, and we'll call for a vote. Ms. Rebecca Fenwick, how do you vote?
Approve.
Mr. Jerry Lomanac?
Approved.
Ms. Kendra Clark?
Approved.
Mr. Bagley Heath?
Approved.
And Dr. Williams?
Approve.
Okay. There were no requests for extensions at this time. And next we'll move on to the regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district. 1, Victorian District. 2, Kyler Brownville District. 3, Streetcar District. And 4, Conservation Districts. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board asks that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairwoman. We will structure board discussions by calling on each board member for 2 rounds of two minute comments or less. However, board members are not required to comment. So the first application today is the petition by Sawyer Design at 412 East Duffy Street. And that's all you, Leah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction parts 1 and 2 for a 2-story single family detached residence on the vacant parcel at 412 East Duffy Street. So this is the context elevation. This is the proposed building and elevation. This is the site plan. This is the proposed building here. I was going to show you the site as well. Oops, pardon me. So this is the vacant parcel between these two historic buildings. So this parcel was recently subdivided from the parcel to the east here, which is actually also called 412 East Duffy. So I'm not sure what address this will actually end up with. This is 410 and this is 412. So probably like 410 and a half maybe, but the address will still have to be assigned. A principal use building has never existed in this location, which is unusual. So this is 1954, and here's the parcel right here. I'm sorry, it was recently subdivided from 410, not 412. Pardon me. And then here in 1973. Until recently, there was an open shed on this location. Staff recalled this from the survey update in 2016 that there was something on this parcel. So we went looking for it, and this is what was there until just recently when this was submitted, and it's clearly been taken off. You can see where it was attached to this building over here. Fortunately, it wasn't a contributing structure or anything like that, but the site has recently been cleared. Generally, we do feel that this proposed project is visually compatible. I'll show you the elevations here. So obviously front here. A couple of material issues is that we did not have an actual specification for the shutters. The ordinance requires that they be a durable wood species, actually operable and sized to fit the opening with a center rail meeting. So we'll need a specification there. According to the specifications, because we actually don't have a detail provided, this railing is proposed to be a powder coated cast aluminum, and staff does not feel that that's visually compatible. We request that it be revised to wood to be compatible, just because of the traditional nature of this building, and provide a detail section of what that would look like. With regard to design standards, so the ordinance states that the space between piers shall be filled with lattice boards, horizontal boards, brick or stucco of a concrete block. The only note in here is that the space between the piers will be filled with pressure treated louvers per specification. However, staff couldn't locate a specification and the recess of it wasn't indicated, and the ordinance requires a 3-inch recess. So we are asking to revise the infill to be one of the permitted infills and provide a detail indicating that the recess standard is met. With regard to window standards, let me go back to the elevations real quick. So all residential facades that are visible from a street, the standard says visible from a street, not facing a street. So these side facades are visible from the street. So it says all residential facades visible from a street shall incorporate transparent features. So windows or doors over a minimum of 30% of the ground floor facade. So calculations weren't provided. It's possible that this ground floor facade meets that, but we're not certain that this one does. So we would ask that they provide the calculations and increase the amount of transparent features if they're not meeting that standard. So the height of the railing shall not exceed 36 inches. And a detail again of the railing wasn't provided here. So we need that. And then on the site plan, there's a note here that says HVAC, and then this appears to be refuse. So refuse is required to be screened from the public right away. So we would ask that a screen be added. And then for HVAC, they're not showing the units or the screening here, but in elevation, they do show what appears to be mechanical screening. So we would just want to see those on the site plan. Regarding parking and paving, for new construction, the development is required to, required to add a sidewalk that connects their front entry with the public sidewalk, sort of like this one has right here. And that's just missing, so we would ask that be added. So staff is recommending approval with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And again, that's one, to revise the infill to meet the standard and be recessed 3 inches. Two, revise the side facades to incorporate a minimum of 30% transparent features. Three, provide the specification for the shutters and ensure the shutter standards are met. Four, revise the railing detail, railing material from powder coated aluminum to wood and provide a detail of the railing. Five, add the HVA screening to the site plan and screen the refuse storage area from the right of way. And six, add a sidewalk from the front porch stair to the public sidewalk. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any members of the board who have questions for staff? All right. Well, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record? Leah, did the petitioner not come today?
He's here.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
There he is.
Hello. Hey, this is John Miller. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Hey, yes, this is John Miller from Soil Design. I'm here representing the Ducky Street project.
Chelsea, you can ask him to address staff's recommendation if you'd like.
Oh, would you like to address staff's recommendation or discuss your presentation at all?
Yes, we don't see any issues with staff recommendations and have no issues with accommodating all of them. They were given in our next set, they will all be addressed. Questions all three of them.
He agrees with staff's recommendation. That's what he said.
Okay, yes. Sorry, it was kind of busy. All right, well, thank you, Mr. Leonard. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? If so, please state your name for the record before you speak.
I apologize for interrupting you again, Chelsea. You want to ask the board if they have any questions for the petitioner?
Oh, yes. Are there any members of the board that have questions for the petitioner? Nope. Okay. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment at this time?
Please use the raise your hand feature and we'll announce your name. No hands.
Okay. All right. And since there are no public comments, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member twice to speak for 2 minutes or less. Ms. Rebecca Fenwick, do you have any comments at this time?
I do. My only comment, I agree with staff's recommendation. My only other comment would be that it appears that the porch has a fairly hefty cornice, a thicker cornice, which would be like historically appropriate. I feel like it is proportionate to the size and mass. Comparatively, the neighboring property does not, but looking at the top where the roof line is, to see a proportionate cornice there kind of to match what's proposed at the porch level, I think would help to balance the design, and the neighboring properties do the same. And perhaps I'm reading it incorrectly as far as where the roof line falls and looking at a flat elevation versus a perspective, but that's my only comment.
Rebecca, was that comment directed at staff or the petitioner?
Yeah, I mean, I should have relayed the question probably to staff, and it looks like Leah's pointing it out to me. There's not a dimension on that, but that's the porch. So that's the porch cornice.
Is that a question or is that a comment that you think it's too large?
No, I think that, so what you just showed was the detail for the porch cornice. I would like to see something similar at the roof line. So if you go to the elevations, right, so it looks like the siding just goes straight to the fascia or the soffit.
Oh, no, it does not.
Okay.
I'll get in real close.
Okay. All right. Yes, there is a cornice there. I wondered if maybe because of the, I wasn't sure if the eaves were boxed.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
They're actually required
to be. That's the true width then.
Yes.
I do think it would provide more balance to have a thicker cornice. Maybe the petitioner can answer if the cornices are the same width or not.
This is John Leonard again. Can I go to him?
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess I certainly don't see an issue with, I guess, putting a larger cornice in there. That certainly would align with the larger house to the left. I'm not sure that we can bring it down towards the window height at all. To do that, or to accommodate that, it looks like we'd have to raise the roof a little bit. And then I guess I would ask for that reason of it to make the building higher, more in line with the building to the left. And then if we do that, we'll make the building to the right seem almost out of proportion and too small. But, you know, we're trying to get a sort of a happy medium between the two.
I certainly would not want the building to be taller, but I don't know that I'm asked, I don't know that I, it doesn't need to be increased in size significantly, but just proportionate to what's at the porch.
Yeah, I see.
Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it seems that from a hierarchy perspective, you would want the heavier cornice on the bigger part of the building.
I think what she's saying, I'm just to be the middle person, is that this should be taller.
Right. Yeah, I think the reason why we can't make that taller to at least say, you know, so it aligns a little bit more with the next.
So like a 12 inch or something rather than like a 6 inch.
Yeah, that's the only reason we can accommodate that.
Okay, thank you. That's all for me.
Thanks.
All right, Mr. Gary Lomanac, did you have any comments or questions?
To follow up on what Rebecca was saying, if you could go back right back to the same drawing that was there. And I agree with having a deeper cornice there, but I think that whole detail needs to be articulated a little bit more. If you look at the buildings to either side, you don't have just cut off fascia. I mean, there's some slope to it. It's just a little bit more articulated, even the one on the right, which is simpler, but still is more articulated. It seems like if that whole detail was more articulated, it would be an improvement. That's really all I have.
All right. Ms. Kendra Clark, do you have any comments at this time?
I don't think I have any additional comments.
Okay. Mr. Bagley Heath, do you have any comments at this time?
I don't have any comments at this time.
Okay. And Dr. Robin Williams, do you have any comments at this time?
I concur with Rebecca Fenwick and Jerry Lomanac on revisiting and beefing up the cornice at the top of the second floor.
All right. And at this time, we will now entertain a motion. Would any members of the board like to call for a motion on this project?
I'll make a motion. I move that that the board approve the for new construction parts 1 and 2 for the 412 East Duffy Street, accepting staff recommendations and with the additional requirement that the cornice at the top of the second floor be at least doubled in size and provided with more three-dimensional articulation.
All right, do we have a second?
Second.
This is Rebecca.
Sorry, Mr. Bagley Heath, did you second that?
I did.
Okay. Well, I call for a vote to approve staff recommendations for new constructions part 1 and 2 with the following conditions as well as the additional requirements listed by Dr. Robin Williams. And I will call for a vote. Ms. Rebecca Fenwick, how do you vote?
Approve.
Mr. Jerry Lomanac, how do you vote?
Approve.
Ms. Kendra Clark?
Approved.
Mr. Bagley Heath?
Approved.
Dr. Robin Williams?
Approved.
And myself, Chelsea Jackson Green, I also vote to approve. All right. Next, we will move on to Leah, if you don't mind going back to the schedule. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to the streetcar district and to the much anticipated petition from Felder and Associates for 410 East 37th Street. And now staff will present their recommendation.
Did you hear any of that?
Oh, Leah, I think you were muted.
Yes, I am so sorry. So this is Leah again. The applicant is requesting approval for additions and alterations for the property located at 410 East 37th Street. The former service station is proposed to become a single family residence. The work consists of, I'm gonna zoom in here, sort of small. Rehabilitation of the historic building and its later additions. So that includes this here. Enclose the porte cochere with transparent glass with fixed and sliding panels and minimal framing. The panels will be set back 24 inches from the outside facade of the porte cochere's columns here. You can see that here. I did want to show that in, I know I showed this in the pre-meeting, but I wanted to show the specification of the product that they're providing or proposing for the infill. Oops, pardon me. This thing is not agreeing with me. Okay, there we go. A 521 square foot addition on the northeast corner of the property is proposed with a transparent connector here, which is an additional 60 square feet. This is what attaches the new addition to the historic building and its later additions. Fences and gates are proposed to surround the entire property, so I'll sort of follow where those are proposed here. New vehicular drives at the west side of the property, so one here and one here, and new sidewalks throughout, as you can see here, and a wood deck adjacent to the porte cochere, which you can see here. The applicant is also requesting a special exception from the standard that states that fences or walls no more than 3 feet in height may be installed within the front yard. And that's to allow this fence here, which is forward of the front facade, to vary from 3 to 4 feet in height. And that's mostly due to the existing grade on the site. See that here again. The applicant is also requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the standard that states that building setbacks in the rear yard shall be a minimum of 10 feet. You can see the dash dot dot is the property line. And this is, originally they were asking for this, it wasn't dimensioned, but this amount of setback from 10 feet to whatever this is, probably about a foot. But then staff noticed that this shower addition right here actually goes right to the property line. So they're requesting a recommendation to the ZBA for a variance for a 0 foot setback instead of a 10 foot setback in the rear yard. So this historic building was constructed in 1927 and is a contributing resource. The service station was originally constructed as a Gulf service station prototype, according to the NPC's survey records. Additions date from between 1954 and 1973. A COA was approved in 2018 for a similar project, but it was under the former zoning ordinance and actually did not have an addition. On this side, this was actually an independent accessory structure, but there was an addition proposed over here, and the porte cochere was proposed to be enclosed in this proposal as well. Again, this was in 2018 under the former zoning ordinance. However, this project was never executed and has since expired. The primary difference between the standards in the former zoning ordinance and the current zoning ordinance, well, actually brought up in the pre-meeting, is that the Secretary of the Interior standards for rehabilitation are now included, and therefore the preservation briefs are included as well. Whereas when this one was approved, there were no preservation standards in the overlay zoning ordinance. With regard to base zoning, oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong set. The only standard that, that's not being met, again, is the rear yard setback requirement, and they're asking for a recommendation for a variance. So the first standards that we're going to review are those within Preservation Brief 46, the preservation and reuse of historic gas stations. I'm going to point out some in particular guidance. A gas station's structural form is of central importance. The outward appearance of a historic gas station, its size, shape, massing, and scale gives a historic property its identity and contributes to a public's understanding of when and why it was constructed. So again, this would be the original form of the historic gas station. And there are a lot of appendages proposed that change the form and massing and shape and size of the historic building. I think that's pretty well seen in the elevations too. This is the existing front elevation of the building, which faces the, you know, the corner of the property. And this is the proposed existing rear, proposed rear. North, so this is the addition here, proposed existing. And south, proposed existing. So staff determines that the proposed east addition obscures and damages the, I said east, I believe that's north, obscures and damages the diminutive historic gas station size, shape, massing, and scale. Staff recommends that the footprint of the addition be reduced as to not project forward of, I'm going to go back to the floor plan, again, as to not project forward of the front facade of the existing building mass, and so the footprint is less than the square footage of the existing building mass, excluding the porte cochere. So basically what that says is that this footprint should be less than this footprint to meet this guidance that's provided by the Secretary of the Interior. With regard to rehabilitation concerns and the exterior under the same brief, retaining the form of a historic gas station is an important component of any preservation project. Throughout a rehabilitation project, modest structures should remain modest. On many larger gas stations, which this is not, it may be possible to construct a modest addition as part of a reuse project. Successful additions are appended to a secondary elevation, preferably the rear. Such additions should be smaller and no taller than the existing structure, be compatible with the original gas station shape, and be similar yet distinguishable from the historic construction. Again, staff determines that the addition obscures and damages the diminutive historic station's size, shape, massing, and scale. And the next portion of that guidance says that enclosing the outside area beneath a canopy with solid or glazed walls as a means of obtaining additional interior space will significantly alter the character of the property and should not be undertaken. The canopy is proposed to be enclosed with glazed walls as a means of obtaining additional interior space. Therefore, staff determines that this alters the property and recommends denial of the canopy enclosure. The canopy is the dominating character-defining feature of this building, of not only this building, but the entire site. With regard to the, that's the end of our recommendations from the preservation brief. So we're gonna go to the Secretary of the Interior standards in general. And the proposed rehabilitation alterations and additions do create a false sense of historical development. Staff determined that the 1950s and 60s additions have gained historic significance and they are proposed to be retained and preserved. So that's this here and this here. All remaining historic features are proposed to be repaired, so repaired and replaced in kind, so windows, doors, things of that nature on the historic portions of the buildings. So we do feel that that standard is met. With regard to standards 9 and 10, which apply to additions and additions being reversible, additions and alterations being reversible, although differentiated and likely reversible without damage to the essential form and integrity of the historic property, the addition alters features and spaces that characterize the property. Staff determined that the proposed addition obscures and damages, again, the historic gas station size, shape, massing, and scale. In addition to staff recommending that the footprint be reduced in size and that it be set back from the front facade, staff has also determined that enclosing the porte cochere alters a significant feature and recommends denial. With regard to visual compatibility, staff determined the proposed addition and porte cochere enclosure are not visually compatible. Additionally, the amount of fence and heavy nature of the fence design obscures the historic building, and staff recommends the amount of fence be reduced as well as redesigned. The proposed rear yard setbacks for the west, for the additions, are less than that of the existing building. So in other words, the additions are proposed to be even closer to the property line than the historic portion of the building here, and therefore are not visually compatible. Staff is recommending that the rear yard setbacks for the addition be increased in depth to be at least the same as or deeper than the historic building. With regard to design standards, the applicant's review of the ordinance indicates that the electrical panels and utility meters will be located on the rear facade. They're just not shown in the site plan, so we're asking that those be shown in the site plan so that we can ensure that the standards are met in the ordinance. With regard to design standards for additions, additions shall be subordinate to the resource and mass and height. Additions shall not obscure any character-defining features. The addition is subordinate in height, but not mass, and the addition obscures the entire original enclosed mass of the historic building from the southerly view. That we do not feel that the standards are met. With regard to parking and paving standard design standards, we talked about this quite a bit too. This is the, well, sort of the current conditions on the site. Last, when I drove home the other day, this was this concrete was being pulled up over here. Parking areas shall be located in the rear yard, except for single and two family dwelling units, which may also provide parking in the side yard behind the face of the front facade of the dwelling. So staff's determination is that this is the front facade of the building. Therefore, this would parking would be forward of the front facade of the building. In addition, the width of this driveway and all of its new components don't meet the design standards within the ordinance. So staff is recommending this be removed in its entirety. This driveway here meets some more of the standards, which is behind the front facade. Does not exceed 12 feet in width and is a ribbon strip design and appears to meet all those standards. So we're recommending this one go away and this one remain, which meets the off-street parking requirements, which is one off-street parking space with a ribbon strip design not to exceed 12 feet in width. So again, regarding fences and walls, fences or walls no more than 3 feet in height may be installed in the front yard. So anything, again, depending on what you call the front yard, if this is the front facade, so any of the fences forward of this line, so all of these, any part of it that exceeds 3 feet will need a special exception. And again, that's mostly because of the grading. So the fence looks like it's proposed to be 3 feet up here and the site drops off significantly down here. With regard to that special exception and the variance recommendations, staff is recommending a continuance for this project. So because of that, we're also recommending that, or staff is reserving its recommendation for the special exception and the variance recommendation until the rest of staff's recommendations or however the board votes is amended, so that we can see how that might affect the request for the special exception and variance. Staff is recommending to continue the request to the December 21st, 2020 HPC meeting in order for the petitioner to consider the following. One, reduce the footprint of the addition so as not to project forward to the front facade, and so the footprint is less than the square footage of the existing building mass, excluding the porte cochere. Two, do not enclose the porte cochere. Three, reduce the amount of fence around the site and redesign the fence to be more transparent. This includes removing the fence in the rear yard because the required 5 feet of space is not provided between it and the building. I actually think I'd skip that design standard. So there's a standard that says there must be 5 feet between a wall and a fence, and that standard there is not met. So what we're recommending is that maybe this fence just come and end here, because in addition, you can see that a lot of these fences go over the property line onto the railroad right away and the city right away, and we're not even sure if the city will permit that. So we're recommending they check and see if the city right here provide confirmation that the city departments and CSX will permit fences and gates on their property as shown in the site plan. Five, increase the rear yard setbacks for both additions to match or be more than the historic building. Six, remove the double width driveway in its entirety. Seven, indicate on the site plan that the single width driveway does not exceed 12 feet and that is a ribbon strip design with grass between the strips. And six, indicate on the site plan the electrical service locations. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I have a quick one. This is Robin Williams. Is this site even zoned for residential?
It is zoned TC1. So all of our zoning districts, because it's a mixed use neighborhood, permits residential. So yes, sorry.
Thank you.
Do any other members of the board have questions for staff?
Darren, I have a question. The single entry driveway would really only be accessible if one was coming east and then would have to cross over in front of traffic that is lining up at the light at 37th and Havisham.
If you're coming
from east to west on 31st Street, you'd end up having to take 15 degree plus turn to get into that driveway, whereas the two parking driveway would be accessible from either direction by the looks of the plan.
I completely understand what you're saying. That's not under our purview, unfortunately, and it once this goes to traffic engineering, if it does not meet their standards for those sorts of turning radiuses and other sorts of things, then they'll have to come back to us for changes.
Okay.
In fact, you all might want to recommend that they go and speak with traffic engineering before coming back again, possibly, to find out what their requirements will be for driveway locations and, you know, those sorts of things.
Are there any other questions for the staff from the board? If not, will the presenter please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, I'm Gretchen Callejas with Felder and Associates. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I'll address some of your concerns and be in your comments. So as you all know, the property has been vacant for quite some time, and we feel like the majority of projects that have been proposed here and all in the past, you know, the square footage of this property and the limitation it provides kind of doesn't make it a very profitable property for commercial property, but you know, our owner who is here today, if you have questions for him, would like it to be his home. And I anticipated all of staff's comments. And we felt like our design actually was sensitive to preserving the gas station. And we tried to keep our addition separated from the gas station and back from the most dominating feature, which is that, you know, that porte-cochere. And we used, I don't know if you can see in the floor plan, but we kind of held back most of the massing from the main office and used corner glazing to kind of reduce the massing. And we feel like our addition is subordinate in maybe not square footage, but in the square footage of the overall footprint, which if you take into account the additions, which if they're now historic and the building and the porte-cochere were under that. I don't think that we have a problem reducing the square footage, but we feel like we've already, you know, worked on that and addressed it. And we need that back, that variance on the rear in order to even push it back where we are now. And we're kind of in a weird pie-shaped area, so we've kind of played around with that and tried to get the most we could for where we are. And then we don't really feel like the project is viable without enclosing the porte-cochere. Again, square footage is just, you know, limited, and we don't want to mess with the facade. And I understand the preservation brief, and I'd read it previously, and you know that I know we're under a new ordinance, but that preservation brief was written in 2008, and you know there have been projects downtown on I can't think of the street right now, Drayton Street, that had been previously approved even after that preservation brief has been issued. In the 2018 project, it was approved. And I feel like that we are doing a very good job, or a very sensitive job. And if we put a wall on the interior of that and build inside, we're essentially gonna build a glass box inside that porte-cochere, and we're going to attach to a roof that doesn't exist right now. And so at any time we can come back and remove that. And that was part of the reason that we left that double wide, I hate saying double wide, but the concrete driveway, was to, you know, keep that vehicular path and show how, you know, we used to come into the site. And that's why that was left there. And I think it really, you know, helps with the history of it. What other comments? And I don't think that we mind changing some of the fencing and stuff like that. We're willing to work with the staff to do that. But I do think that I will make an argument that the fence that we have now is, you know, not that heavy. It's the base that's really heavy. And I'm not sure how you would redesign it more to be more transparent. The site, you know, slopes down, and we need that a base to kind of hide the deck and to kind of help with the grading. So what are the other comments? The double, I think I addressed all the comments, unless you have questions for me.
So I have a question. This is Chelsea Jackson Green. I have a question for the petitioner, but I'll wait to ask other members of the board if you have questions for the petitioner.
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I have a question. Since it's going to be such a major aesthetic portion of the building, I just wanted to ask about the nanowall system specifically, and if you had had a chance to confirm that it meets the wind requirements for this area.
I think it will meet the DP ratings. I don't think it has to meet the impact rating in this area. But I do believe it meets the DP rating, but you know, that is something that will need to happen.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure that it did, just from past experience. I really love the system, but I wasn't sure what the answer to that was, but I mean, if you weren't using it, you'd have to come back and get a review of the next product, so.
Correct.
Anyway. Thank you, Gretchen.
Yep.
Are there any other members of the board that have questions for the petitioner?
Well, I have a question for the petitioner. She stated, Gretchen stated on the record that the owner of the property intends to live there. And I'm understanding that the board is not allowed to make a decision based on programming or what happens into the interior of the building, but we do have a responsibility, and we state in the very beginning that the purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. And we make these decisions and the basic and vital importance of the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. And I just have some concerns that this design, while I know you said you all did a good job, I think that pending staff's, you know, report and recommendation here, that there are some other factors that haven't been taken into consideration, and having someone, you know, claim that this is going to be their home on a very public right of way in a very historic building seems, you know, slightly irresponsible. And Leah, stop me if this is more, you know, not necessarily the right way to go about this. I'm just concerned that those factors aren't being addressed to the board, and that is something that the board was founded on, is what the purpose of this building is, and if it will be taking in consideration the historical and cultural value of the building. And I'm not sure that a private residence in this location is doing that.
This is Leah, just to answer your question, is technically you all do not have purview over the use. I mean, I suppose if the use were affecting the the what they're proposing to do to the building, then yes, of course, that comes under your purview, which I feel like that's sort of what you're getting at. But technically, yeah. you can't say you cannot have a single family residence here. You can't say that. So
I'm not going to say what they can and can't do. I'm just concerned that their use is not, you know, protecting or promoting the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people in the streetcar district, nor is it, you know, protecting or enhancing the historical, cultural, or aesthetic value of this property to the community, right? And while we can't vote on use, I think what's influencing our decision is that basis of understanding. So I guess my question to the petitioner is do they feel that a single family residence is enhancing or protecting the historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value of this property to the neighborhood?
Yeah, so I have like three comments on that. So one is that if you would buy this piece of property for a commercial, let's say, I know it's been on Facebook recently, someone wants to sell hot dogs out of it, but you would have to sell so many hot dogs to make any money at this piece of property. I think the real only use for this is a single family residence, because you're not trying to make money back. I mean, this is somewhere he wants to live, and there's houses all along that train track in the streetcar district. I don't see how any of this would do anything, any harm to the streetcar district. If anything, he's been, you know, people have come up to him and thanked him for doing something to it. It has sat so vacant for so long. And if someone doesn't do something soon, we're going to lose it even more. So I think people are thankful that he's doing something to it. And right now, I mean, I know people want a restaurant or something in it, but it's not viable. It's just no money to make. Never make your money back. So. That's my comment.
Okay. Well, at this point, are there any members of the public that would like to comment? If so, please state your name for the record before you speak.
Ryan Arve from Historic Savannah Foundation.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and board members. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you won't.
This is the only project we'll be speaking on today. So before I start my comments, I just want to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving holiday later this week. I am representing our Architectural Review Committee here today. Our ARC meets and reviews all these projects, and they use their collective experience to make recommendations, which I then carry out and relay to the HPC. Our ARC is very thrilled to see this building getting the attention it is due. It is a very significant, rare, surviving gas station in this neighborhood. And so we are glad to see that it has been purchased by an owner who does good work. And we could not speak higher of Felder and Associates and the work that they do. But ARC is very concerned, as is MPC staff, with a lot of the changes. We fully endorse staff recommendations. We strongly encourage HPC to uphold those recommendations and to, at the very least, continue this project. As Leah said in her opening remarks, as simply as you could say it, the structural form of this building is being interfered with, it is being damaged, and it is obscuring the shape, massing, and scale of the building. Though we give credit to Felder and Associates for their creative work on it, it does not meet the best standards and practices for rehabbing historic buildings as set by the National Park Service, which wrote the preservation brief, which is still the definitive document on these types of buildings, nor does it meet, we feel, many of the Secretary of Standards, Secretary of the Interior standards, namely the enclosure of the canopy, which is the character-defining feature. We also believe that the addition is too large. It should be subservient to the original structure. It should be on the rear, as the brief makes clear. We know that's not possible here. But that begs the question then, are these changes actually justified? I agree with Madam Chairperson's well-articulated comments that she just made. And certainly doing something with the building is welcomed. But doing something shouldn't be our bar for success with this building, not with how significant it is. The open nature of the site as a gas station is also a key defining feature. The wall obscures that. So we would like to see staff recommendations upheld. We certainly understand commercial viability, but commercial viability has never been a justification for making these types of changes to a historic building. And we think that there is more study that can be done here. And we hope that HPC agrees and ultimately upholds the staff's well-written recommendations. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
Okay. Our owner is here and he would like to respond.
So my name is Paul Miller and I've done a number of projects. I've worked with you guys on a number of different buildings.
The reason I'm sorry, Paul, but we can't understand what you're saying, Paul. Sorry. Are you on a speaker or something? I'm sorry.
Any better? Any better?
Yep, that does sound better. Okay.
This building certainly needs to be protected and preserved. I agree with that completely. A resident down the street said his father went to high school in the SCAD building and graduated in 1960. And walked by this building every day of his life while he was in high school. And this building was in the same form and shape that it is now. It was abandoned and vacant, which tells you how long the building has been abandoned and vacant. If something isn't done, we're going to lose the building. We're going to lose the entire building. Which is why the changes that we've proposed are completely reversible. The 2018 approval of the portico chair masked, tremendously masked the building. The nano walls that we're proposing will allow the entire building to be seen, the entire structure to be seen. And again, this building is deteriorating every day. And while I realize commercial use isn't something that should be taken into consideration, the reality is we're going to lose the building. We're going to completely lose the building. And it'll be a shame. It's already deteriorated. The brickwork is deteriorating. The metal steelwork is deteriorating. Everything about the building is in rapid deterioration. And I would just hate to see it go. And I think that we've been sensitive. It's not viable as a commercial property. Everybody in Savannah that I've spoken to said, oh, I wanted to put a taco stand there, or I wanted to put a hot dog stand there. But the reason that nobody has is because it's just not viable. And the work that we have done out there, the concrete removal that we have done out there, is behind all of the property lines. It's just miscellaneous concrete on the site. When the station was built, Gulf Refining considered their stations to be the oasis of motoring, which is why the palm trees were planted. In conjunction with the reason the building was built originally. And again, we want to restore the fencing from the original drawings. We want to reintroduce all of the palm trees that were on the original drawings. And again, everything that we're trying to do is to keep the building as completely intact as possible and as reversible as possible. And if anybody has any questions, I'll certainly be happy to discuss them.
This is Robin Williams. I have a question particularly regarding the square footage of the addition and how staff has argued it should step back from what they're calling the facade. Is that an option within your plan?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Right. You know, to say that the canopy isn't part of the building structure it's hard for me to understand that. We are certainly willing to move the front of the addition back to what staff is calling the front of the building. But again, in order to do that, yes is the answer to your question.
Great, thank you very much.
All right, did anyone else like to make any comments regarding the petitioner's response? All right, if not, thank you, Felder and Associates, for your presentation, and Mr. Miller for taking the time to answer some of staff's questions today. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member twice to speak for 2 minutes or less. So we'll begin with Ms. Rebecca Fenwick.
Yes, I wanted to first say for the record that I have worked with the applicant, Mr. Miller, in the past, including a consult on this building for tax credits, which he did not move forward with. And I do not have any active contracts with him. So I do not feel that I have a conflict of interest, but I wanted to state it for the record. I I agree with staff's comments, and I would say perhaps most concerned just about reversibility. You know, I think that's such an important preservation standard. So, you know, the glass is certainly making an attempt to do that. And I think the Nana wall has a nice profile when considering, you know, other options like a curtain wall and things that are more insensitive. I would like to see a smaller addition, but I think, you know, staff's comments are addressing that. But I'm interested to hear what the rest of the board thinks. So that's all for me for now.
Thank you, Rebecca. Mr. Jerry Womanak?
Yes, I do have some comments. I think this is the best project I've seen come before the board, the commission, since I've been on it. This building is a very unique situation. It sat there for a long time. I kept expecting to ride by and see it torn down any day. The last use that was made of it, I believe, was a car wash.
Darn you.
Mistaken. And it was sort of a, I think, catch as catch can kind of business. This site can never be made into a commercial site because there's no way to get the parking requirements and meet parking requirements. And not meet them, there's no place to park if you don't meet them. So the only use that seems to be available for this particular site, in my opinion, is residential. Or either a park and tear it all down and put a park there. I think the architect has made an incredible effort to minimize the impact on this structure. The wall system proposed is certainly highly reversible, but it encloses the canopy. I personally think the canopy is part of the structure of the building. And the actual front facade of this whole structure is out on the end of the canopy that faces out on the edge of that intersection. The existing facade of the enclosed part of the structure will be visible through that glass wall. The addition, assuming that one says the facade is out at the end of the canopy, does not project past the facade. The addition is very sensitively done and relates to the building in a very sensitive manner. I do have a little bit of problem with the amount of pavement, and I think a little bit of a study there could deal with the parking situation a little better. But the fence, I think, is quite fine. I personally wouldn't want to live this close to a railroad track. And I wouldn't want to live in a glass box, but I'm probably not as neat a housekeeper as these people are. I think this is quite a well done project, and I really applaud the architect and the owner for trying to do what they've done. That's all I have to say.
Ms. Kendra Clark, do you have any comments?
I think for me, I don't necessarily have as much of an issue with the addition and the size of it. Looking at the drawing and the renderings, I feel like it fits well with the historical building pretty well. I am concerned about them closing the canopy. I just think that it is such a significant feature of the building, and to close it off, I feel, could take away from that. I think that's all I have at the moment.
Okay. Mr. Bagley Heath, do you have any comments at this time?
Yes, I agree that I find the architect's interpretation. I do like it. My biggest concern with the whole project is if we set a precedent that we're taking so many of the Department of the Interior's recommendations and saying, well, in this case, it's okay, but with further projects being brought forward to us in the future, how do we then say, well, it was okay for this because of XYZ, but how do we then say, but it's not okay for you? That's my major concern. Overall, I think the removability of the glass to being able to return the canopy back to its original format, if it ever would be, is some really sympathetic in its approach towards the design and to respecting those, some of the requirements. But again, I'm really on the fence as far as what's okay.
Dr. Robin Williams, do you have any comments at this time?
Yes, just a few. First of all, in response to the comment that was just made regarding setting a precedent, in my 6.5 years on the review, the Downtown Review Board, the HDBR, as well as the few months of this board, this strikes me as such a unique project on such a unique site that I'm not concerned about where we're straying from Department of the Interior standards, for example, with regard to an addition projecting forward of a facade, partly depends on how we interpret what is the front facade. And the petitioner has already mentioned that they're willing to adjust the addition regardless. But I think that this is such a unique project that I'm less concerned about its potential as a precedent. I can't think of another project in the downtown area, for example, that had the same kind of exceptions being contemplated. I'm inclined to agree with Jerry Lominack on most of what he said, particularly regarding the canopy as part of the building. If you look at the cornice and how it extends from the solid part of the building and embraces all the sets of piers as continuous form. So if you look at the cornice and the attic, it granted there's open space underneath, and we can debate whether or not that constitutes part of a building. I mean, what constitutes a facade? But I think an argument could be made that the canopy area is certainly part of the building. It's not just a projecting appendage like so many canopies on gas stations feel very temporary or clearly not integrated into the office building. But in this case, it certainly is with materiality and form. The glass, I also agree the glass, it seems to be pulled back enough that it would allow the form of the canopy to be legible. I don't know how transparent it'll be. And also for privacy, there's going to have to be some curtains or some shading device, one presumes. And glass is highly reflective, but I think it's set back enough. It'll be shaded and some of it's open, and it seems to be reversible. My main concern relates to the addition and looking at the plan. And Lee, if you could go to the plan on page 28 of the 34-page document. And if the plan, if the massing of the addition were brought in line with or maybe just slightly back of the what the staff has called the facade, what the petitioner has already agreed to, I think even if the front of the canopy is called the facade, as Jerry argues, I think it would be good for the addition to step back a little bit so that from Price Street, the side, the what would it be, the more or less the north elevation of the canopy would be more legible. And it could either align with the original, with that inner facade, what staff is calling the facade, or maybe step back slightly from it so that the pier, the rear north pier could be more visible to the public realm, and the addition will be clearly more secondary to the main building. I also wonder, I'm a little bit concerned about this sawtooth effect of the walls. I know the building is rectilinear on a corner site, but I wonder if we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 corners along the Price Street elevation. I wonder if that would be, if it would, it just, I wonder what that effect will be for someone along that elevation. Why not make that parallel to Price so that it urbanistically acknowledges the Price Street, even if it's a relatively short facade, in the same way that the rear facade is aligned with the site. And so if the additions, God, directions are so hard to talk about, but where that little number, what do we call that addition? That facade, so it's sort of like southeast, parallel to the front of the building. So the addition's facade that parallels the front of the building, if that could be pushed northward, northwestward, and if the sawtooth angled elements could be flattened out, I think the addition would be more discreet, because I worry those angles, the play of light and shadow, is going to make them somewhat aggressive and not as sort of retiring as they might be. And that's all for me.
Thank you, Robin. And I have no additional comments at this time. So now we will entertain a motion. Would any members of the board like to call for a motion on this project?
Should we have, just given the complexities, could we have, in past, we've had opportunities to have a little bit of discussion across the board on this? Yes. Is that possible?
Yes, I believe, Leah, do we have time for that? I think we should.
That's up to you, Madam Chairwoman.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think, I mean, this is what this time is for. So if other members of the board want to discuss along with Robin, I suggest we should.
I believe, Madam Chair, that when you opened this opportunity for the members of the board to speak, you said each person would have two opportunities and you only went through them through the roll once.
Oh, my apologies. Well, then I'll go back to Ms. Rebecca Fenwick. Would you like to make an additional comment?
I'm here. I think this is quite complex, and there seems to be a lot that needs to be addressed, and also the applicant seems amenable to working with staff, so it seems to me like a continuance is appropriate.
And Mr. Jerry Lomanap, do you have additional comments?
Yes, I do. I think Dr. Williams' comments about the comment, particularly about the facade along Price Street, were well founded. And I would be in favor of a continuance in order to investigate that, and also to investigate a more graceful way of dealing with the parking and drive situation. And other than that, I'm good.
Okay. Ms. Kendra Clark, do you have any additional comments at this time?
Just I agree that we probably need more information and some more time, that a continuance would probably be in a good order to move.
Mr. Bagley Heath, do you have any additional comments?
Yes, I agree with Mr. Lomax that the traffic and engineering component should be clarified, and also the setbacks as far as what CSX and the city are going to be, what they're going to be okay with the site plan as far as the rear fence. I'd be also, but I would recommend a continuance on those as well as the other issues.
All right. And based on that, Dr. Robin Williams, do you have any additional comments?
I agree that a continuance be appropriate for all the different issues that we've itemized on this project.
And I happen to agree. I'm looking forward to the applicant's resubmittal, after they're able to address all of these comments and how those, affect the design and their program. So with that being said, we will now entertain a motion.
Could I, just for clarification, when you say all of the comments, are you talking about staff comments? Because I don't think, I don't think there's a uniform feeling that the glass enclosure is inappropriate, and that was a main one of the main points in staff review.
Whoever makes the motion can select which items to include and which items not to include, and then you know the vote can either be voted up or down.
Jerry, you want to stab at it?
Robin, I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
I'm volunteering you to make a motion.
Oh, you are.
But I'll make one if you don't want to.
I will give it a stab and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. I would like to make a motion that we continue this project in order to give the applicant an opportunity to consider the comments from staff review as well as the comments from the members of the commission, particularly as it relates to the way in which the addition addresses thought of the addition addresses Price Street and a better solution to the parking off-street parking situation.
Do we have a second?
I would like to amend that slightly, or Jerry, can you, do you want to make,
please do.
Jerry, you talked about the glass in the canopy, but you didn't mention it in your motion.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and amend it.
Be it's my not guess. Seconded, so it doesn't need an amendment. Jerry can just restate his motion if he wants to, or, you know, since he doesn't have a second, he can go ahead and.
Jerry, just fix your motion.
I don't want to make a motion for them to remove the glass from that enclosure, so I'm not quite sure how to state.
You would remove staff's recommendation number 2, which says do not enclose the.
Oh, and not consider the recommendation number 2. That doesn't sound right.
I will say that I disagree with that choice, and if that were
to, you can vote it down in the motion then.
Okay.
And that the applicant be allowed to enclose the area under the porte cochere as indicated in the design. How's that?
I'll second that, Robin Williams.
All right, so I will repeat the motion now. There is a motion to approve the continuance of the addition to with staff recommendations at 410 East 37th, with the exception of recommendation number 2. I will now call a vote.
Madam Secretary, point of order, I did not recommend that they follow, the motion was not to follow the recommendation, but was to consider the recommendations of the staff.
Okay, my apologies. Then we call for a vote to continue to petition the staff recommendations at 410 East 37th Street, in addition to the board's comments. I will now take a vote. Was that correct, Leah? Did I get everything? Okay. Yes, okay. Ms. Rebecca Fenwick, how do you vote?
Deny.
Mr. Jerry Lomanac, how do you vote?
Approve.
Ms. Kendra Clark, how do you vote?
Am I allowed to approve part of it, but not all of it?
No, ma'am.
No.
Okay, then deny.
Mr. Bagley Heath, how do you vote?
Approve.
Dr. Williams, how do you vote?
Approve.
And myself, Ms. Jackson Green, I deny.
Is that everybody? Right. So that's that a tie. So the motion fails.
So it's tied?
It's a tie, which means the motion fails.
This hasn't happened before yet, Leah.
Yes, so a new motion needs to be made. The motion failed. We only have 6 members here today?
Yeah, Mr. Vernon Jones, Ms. Mobley, and Ms. Swindle aren't here today.
Okay, so yeah, so the motion fails. So it doesn't mean that the project's denied. It means that motion fails, and so there's no motion on the floor again.
And Leah, I'm not permitted to call for a motion then as chairwoman today?
Oh, you can. You'll call for another motion now. Yep.
Okay.
You call for somebody. You mean make a motion. No, you cannot make a motion as chairwoman.
Okay.
I was confused. Sorry.
Sorry about that. Well, then, do any other members of the board, are they interested in calling a motion? Or entertaining a motion, I should say.
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I motion to continue the project of 410 East 37th Street to include the applicant's consideration of staff recommendations.
Do we have a second?
Kendra Clark, a second.
All right, and now we will call for a vote.
I have a question before we go for a vote. I just want a point of order clarification. Is the motion committing the applicant to following the 8 staff recommendations?
Yes.
Yes.
The motion I heard was to consider them.
Yeah, I mean, the applicant could choose to follow 5 of 6 or, you know, I mean, it's up to them as far as what they would like to bring back to this group.
If they bring back your proposal, your motion, they could observe 7 of the 8 and still come back with the glazing on the canopy, in theory. Is that what you're saying?
They could, and then staff could also continue to recommend that they don't enclose it, and then we'd have to vote on it again.
I am not comfortable with making a motion that they are required to do all of the things that staff is recommending, and I don't also feel comfortable asking for a piecemeal recommendation because it is a new project I need to look at this holistically when considering how each affects the whole. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah. This is Leah. You could also continue it without any recommendations.
Which I think if that's the case, that should be something that as a board we consider them doing, right? That gives them the opportunity to pick and choose, you know, what parts of the recommendation they think will serve their project best. And then they can continue it and bring it back to us and we can reevaluate based on their decision, you know, as a petitioner.
That way they could also look at some of the comments we've made today regarding parking and setbacks and also bring that to the table as well. So I would be in full favor of doing that.
Me?
I agree.
And I think it would be a shame to, I mean, we see so many projects that are great, and to see one that, really has so many wonderful qualities about it to force it to also become gray, I think would be a mistake. So I think that just to give the continuance and let them come back addressing all the comments that were given today, be they by staff or by members of the commission, would probably be appropriate. I have a lot of confidence in the capability of this architectural firm. So I could certainly support a motion for that, just simply for a continuance.
And I think as a board, we can all agree on that. So with that being said, would anyone like to call any motion?
We have a motion on the floor. Yeah.
Rebecca, you can change your motion since it's not seconded if you'd like to.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It has been seconded. So someone can amend the motion or you can withdraw your motion.
Oh, who seconded? Oh, did Kendra second it? Is that why?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
I amended my motion to continue the project at 410 East 37th Street.
I'll second that.
So now you have to vote on the amendment first. So you'll go through each and vote on the amendment.
Okay.
And then if the amendment passes, it becomes original part of the original motion, and then you vote on the original motion. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, great.
So actually, Leah, I have a question. So what takes precedence then? The amended motion takes precedence over the original motion?
Right. So you have to vote now that there's been an amendment made and seconded. You have to vote on that amendment to see if there's a majority that approves of amending that original motion.
Okay.
And if that amendment passes, then the original motion becomes what the amended motion recommended. And then so the original motion becomes continue, period. And then you vote on that.
Got it.
I would like to withdraw my motion and make a new motion to make this a little bit more streamlined.
Okay.
Is that okay if we do that, Leah?
Pam, are you there?
I'm here, no, because now you have an amendment on the floor.
Okay, we'll make this quick. We call for a vote on the amendment to the motion. Ms. Rebecca Venwick, how do you vote?
Approve.
Mr. Lomanac?
Approve.
Ms. Kendra Clark?
Approve.
Mr. Bagley Heath?
Approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
And myself, Ms. Jackson Green, I approve. And now we will call a vote for the motion to continue the application, period. Ms. Rebecca Fenwick, how do you vote?
Approve.
Mr. Jerry Lomanac, how do you vote?
Approve.
Ms. Kendra Clark, how do you vote?
Approve.
Mr. Bagley Heath?
Approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
And myself, Ms. Jackson Green, I approve. All right. And we will now move on to the next project on the agenda. Petition of R&R Property Ventures at 507 and 509 East 36th Street. Also, Mr. Bagley Heath, do you mind muting? Thanks.
Good afternoon, members of the board. I am Olivia Arfuso. I will be presenting the petition for the demolition of 507 509 East 36th Street, a contributing building in the Streetcar Historic District. This area is part of the new expansion of the Streetcar Historic District under the adoption of NUZO. Here are some photographs of the contributing building in its current state. The historic building was constructed in 1900 and is visible on the 1916 Sanborn map as a wood frame attached duplex with a one-story front entry porch. So by the 1954 Sanborn map, the building is labeled as a two-story apartment building. No changes is visible on the 1973 Sanborn map. The front porch was removed by the 1990 Resources Survey, and in 2010, it is described in the Historic Structure Assessment as being in bad condition. On August 18, 2018, an inspection was completed by the City of Savannah, and the inspector noted several areas of wall rot, roof rot, and a partial collapse in the rear of the home. The inspector recommended demolition or a full structural engineering analysis for repairs and stabilization. On August 18, 2018, on August 24, 2020, an independent Georgia licensed structural engineer with Kern & Co. LLC stated that the property was in extremely poor structural condition with rotted wood throughout and is partially collapsed. The case was brought to the Chatham County Recorder's Court, and on October 7, 2020, the property was deemed structurally unsound, unsanitary, dangerous to human life, a public nuisance, and overall an immediate threat to public health and safety. The building was ordered to be demolished by November 18, 2020. However, the petitioner formally applied for the demolition on October 27, 2020. The demolition is required by court order due to dangerous, hazardous, unsafe, and unsanitary conditions. Therefore, staff recommends approval for the demolition of the contributing building at 507-509 East 36th Street. As requested. Thank you, and I now open for any questions.
Thank you so much for your presentation. Are any of members of the board have any questions for staff? No? Okay. Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Yes, hello, this is Rayfield Reeves with R&R Property Ventures. Were you able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great.
Did you have any comments at this time?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Do any members of the board have questions for the petitioner? No. Okay. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? If so, please state your name for the record before you speak.
Please use the raise your hand feature.
All right. And since there are no public comments, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member twice to speak for 2 minutes or less. I'll start with Ms. Rebecca Fenwick. Do you have any comments at this time?
I'm here. I'm sad to see this. My brain is not moving fast enough. I have a question of the applicant. Can I make that question?
That's fine. Leah, that's okay, right?
Uh,
Yeah, that's up to you, Madam Chairwoman, if you want.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
My questions just are how long the owner has held this in his possession, and then also has there been any attempts to find a viable solution for the historic building?
Hello, ma'am. We initially purchased this in March, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, March or February of this year. The building's just been in such bad shape. Our initial plan when purchasing it was to build two new construction homes, which is now that we're hopefully getting to this part, we'll be able to move forward with. And we actually weren't aware that it was in the historic district. But we did reach out to a couple different engineers who all kind of stated the same thing. And I know that, you know, cost isn't a determining factor in your all's decision, but to bring that home back from what it is, and I don't even know what could actually be saved, you know, on that home. We are going to work with someone in the city to kind of salvage as much of the historic wood and window frames and any other materials that they deem, you know, historic and that's able to be saved in the home, and go ahead and save that, not just discard that material.
So your intention is to build two new homes in its place, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we'll be submitting that for a new COA probably sometime by the beginning of the year.
Okay, great. And I would encourage you to search for, but they do exist, some architectural salvage companies. I wouldn't want to direct you to anyone specific, yes. But I know they do exist.
No, but we have. So. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have already. We've been in contact with them already.
Okay, great.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. That's all for me for now. Thanks.
All right. Mr. Jerry Lomanek, do you have any comments or questions at this time?
And no comments, no.
Ms. Kendra Clark?
No comments.
Mr. Bagley Heath?
No comments.
Dr. Williams?
No comments.
And I have no comments at this time. And now we will entertain a motion. Does anyone want to call for a motion on this project or discuss it?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I was just going to say, I think this is in an area that was recently added to the local historic district, and before the last ordinance edits was outside, so that might have been part of the confusion. Did staff say that?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so again, we will now entertain a motion. Do any members of the board would like to do that?
I recommend the approval for demolition of the contributing building at 507-509 as requested.
Do we have a second?
Kendra Clark, I second that.
Okay. All right, and now we will vote on the motion to approve staff recommendations for the demolition of the contributing building at 507-509 East 36th Street as requested. Ms. Rebecca Fenwick, how do you vote?
Approved.
Mr. Jerry Lomanek?
Approved.
Ms. Kendra Clark?
Approve.
Mr. Bagley Heath?
Approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
And myself, Ms. Jackson Green, I approve. All right, and the next item on the agenda is a petition from Mr. Kevin Rose for 1919 Bull Street Foxy Loxy Edition.
Madam Chair, this is Jerry Lominack. I'm going to recuse myself from this. Kevin works for our office, and this is a very, very small project. It was too small really to carry effectively through our office, and he did this as a favor on his own for some friends, so I'm going to recuse myself.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lominack.
Okay, good afternoon, members of the board. This is Aslan, and I will be presenting the petition for the addition at 1919 Bull Street. So the applicant is requesting approval for a 48 square foot room with a bifold takeout window. So 1919 Bull Street and 1917 Bull Street, which can be seen here, are contributing buildings, and these are on the same property. The addition is proposed to be located in this breezeway, set back from the front facade, and will serve to connect the two buildings on the site and create a COVID-friendly takeout window. The applicant has attended a building plan review meeting with MPC and city staff, and it was verified that this addition would be possible and would not require fire separation. The addition is to be the same width as the breezeway in which it is located and will be 10 feet tall for, as I mentioned, a total of 48 square feet. Entry to the addition will be gained from an existing doorway, which can be seen here. A portion of the roof and the right-hand section of the exterior wall of the addition is proposed to extend an additional 3 feet and 9 inches from the base, and this will cover two windows on 1917 Bull Street. However, these windows are not visible from the public right-of-way, and the existing openings are not proposed to be altered. So no historic material or distinctive features are proposed to be altered or removed to accommodate. The exterior walls of the addition are proposed to be 4-inch hardy lap siding to match the size of the siding on the adjacent buildings. Staff found that this siding as proposed does not meet the preservation standards as it does not visually differentiate the new addition. Staff recommends that the size of the siding exposure be increased to a minimum of double the siding exposure of the adjacent historic buildings in order to visually differentiate the addition. Otherwise, the use of hardy lap siding is visually compatible and is a permitted material in the design standards. The window in the proposed addition is to be a bifold takeout window and a flush casement operation. It will have a wood trim and granite sill. While the window materials and configuration do meet the design standards, staff found that the proposed bifold takeout window is not visually compatible with the surrounding contributing buildings. In researching takeout windows that have been approved in historic districts, staff found that they are all of a double hung window type, as can be seen here, as well as here, or they are located behind a feature that is more visually contributing with the surrounding buildings. Therefore, staff recommends revising the type and proportions of the takeout window to be more visually compatible with the windows present on the adjacent historic buildings. Otherwise, staff found that the proposed addition is visually compatible and meets the design standards. So therefore, staff is recommending approval of an addition for the property located at 1919 Bull Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. That's 1, increase the siding exposure to a minimum of double the siding exposure of the adjacent historic buildings, and 2, to revise the type and proportions of the takeout window to be more visually compatible with the windows present on the adjacent historic buildings. And I will take any questions you may have at this time.
Do any members of the board have questions for staff at this time? No? Okay. Will the petitioner come forward and state your name for the record? Is Kevin still on, Leah? Nope. Okay.
Oh, we have him. All right, Mr. Rose, you can go ahead and speak. Unmute your mic.
This is Jerry Lominack. Kevin, since I recused myself, but he's in my office, and for some reason he's not able to get through to you. Is it permissible for him to use my computer as long as I walk out of the room while you're talking to talk with the board?
Yes, that's all right.
Okay.
Sorry about that. My other computer died while I was waiting, and this is Kevin Rose, and I'm going to speak on behalf of the owner. First of all, I agree with the staff recommendation number one on increasing the siding to double that to help delineate the addition from the existing structure. I would like to discuss number two. There have been windows like this approved in this neighborhood, not under this ordinance, but teller windows and the like. A lot of them have been covered up because they've been turned into restaurants. And this seems so far set back from the street. You literally can only see this from a 5-foot swath in Savannah, which is directly in front of the window, that adding a fake double hung facade on the front of it just didn't seem, it just didn't seem like it was going to meet the delineation factor. We're changing the siding to make this of its time. And I think takeout windows are of our time as far as COVID's concerned. So this is definitely an addition that is for takeout. And I wanted to discuss the possibility of leaving it as is, because it's being true to what it is rather than hiding behind a doorway, or which wouldn't work here because it's so narrow, or a double hung window. So that is basically what I would like to discuss with the board.
All right, are there any questions for the petitioner at this time? All right, are there any members of the public that would like to comment? If so, please state your name for the record before you speak.
Please use the raise your hand feature if you'd like to speak. Okay, there are no members of the public.
Okay, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member twice to speak for 2 minutes or less. Ms. Rebecca Fenwick, do you have any comments at this time?
Yes, I think because of the location where this is proposed, it is so recessed from the front facade in that cavity, that I really take no issue with what's being proposed as designed.
Okay, Mr. Lominak is recused. So Ms. Kendra Clark, do you have any comments at this time?
Not at this time.
Okay, Mr. Bagley Heath?
No comments at this time.
And Dr. Williams?
I concur with Rebecca Fenwick and no further comments.
Okay, and I have no comments myself. And with that being said, we will now entertain a motion. Do any of the members of the board feel inclined to make a motion?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. Do you mind to put the staff recommendations back on the screen?
Yeah.
I make a motion to approve the project at 1919 Bull Street to include only item number one made by staff and not item number two.
Before anyone seconds that, can you explain why not item number two, Rebecca?
I don't take issue with the window due to the recess. Because of the recess, I don't think this what is proposed is incongruous with visual compatibility.
Even though it is viewable from the public right of way, you're saying because it's recessed far enough back, you think it's not taking away from the historic character of the two buildings next to it, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Do I need to say that more succinctly or is that sufficient?
No, I think that was great. Can anyone second that motion?
Kendra Clark, I second that motion.
Go for it, Kendra.
Hey, Kendra Clark, I second that motion.
All right, then I call for a vote to approve staff recommendations at 1919 Bull Street, following the one recommendation of increasing the siding exposure to be a minimum of double the siding, but not comment number two, which is revising the type and proportions of the takeout window. And at this time, Ms. Rebecca Fenwick, how do you vote?
Approved.
Ms. Kendra Clark, how do you vote?
Approve.
Mr. Bagley Heath, how do you vote?
Approve.
And Dr. Williams, how do you vote?
I approve.
And myself, Ms. Jackson Green, I approve.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A list of staff reviews is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions of the staff regarding the approved staff reviews? Is there a motion to acknowledge the approved staff reviews?
I'll make a motion, this is Jerry. I'll make a motion to accept the staff reviews or acknowledge, whichever is the appropriate word.
Robin Williams, I second that.
All right, and now we will vote on the motion to approve the acknowledgement of the approved staff reviews. Ms. Rebecca Fenwick, how do you vote?
Approve.
Mr. Jerry Lomax?
Approve.
Ms. Kendra Clark?
Approve.
Mr. Bagley Heath?
Approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
And myself, Ms. Jackson Green, I approve. There are no notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments this month. And there is no other additional business listed. The date for our next meeting is going to be Monday, December 21st. The pre-meeting will occur at 2:30 p.m. and the regular meeting will occur at 3 p.m. Is there a motion to adjourn this meeting?
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting. Robin Williams.
I second that, Darren Bagley.
All right. Thank you.